Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
All right, and a happy Tuesday to you. It is a Trash Tuesday, so let us know who or what is bugging you. And we'll get to those trashes over the course of the morning. In 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. In 40 minutes, some very foul words about Larry Bird from one Dennis Rodman. I don't know how much credibility Dennis Rodman has these days, but it's worth discussing. Also, more trashes, as I mentioned. As I just said, right now in Vegas, the Packers have the longest odds at winning the NFC North. And one of their offensive linemen went on Good Morning Football the other day and said, we are the best team in the NFC North. We're going to prove it, and we want to be one of the best teams in the NFC. Now, maybe that's a stretch. You're breaking in Jordan Love. Last year, they missed the postseason altogether. And so calling them the best in the NFC is a stretch. That sounds like just a guy that has to say, no, we're good. Take us seriously. But in a division with the trendy Lions, who are the favorites, the Vikings, who have picked apart their roster, seemingly understanding that last year was a bit of a ruse, and a Bears team that has been really wretched over the last couple of seasons, are the Packers a good wager option as the longest odds to win the NFC North? I believe they're plus 480 right now, plus 480. If you think the Packers are winnable for the NFC North, this is what I would say. The Lions have the most momentum coming out of last year, and rightfully so. A coach that clearly connects to his players, a quarterback that was better than advertised when he came over to Detroit, some good drafts in a row now, a fun offense, and a team that is feeling itself. And it's been a long time since the Lions had any bit of institutional confidence. And Dan Campbell's created that. So the Lions have the most momentum. And on paper, yeah, I think they're probably the best team in the division. But I don't think it's a huge drop-off in talent between the Lions and the Packers. Now, the Packers might have no momentum. Rodgers leaves, the way last season ended, questions about the roster, how much did Rodgers end up elevating the team? Maybe some, maybe none. But I understand why people are down to the Packers. A complete unknown at quarterback is a pretty huge complete unknown. And the other three teams of the division certainly have more known commodities. Even Justin Fields is a more known commodity at quarterback than you have in Green Bay. However, we don't know if the Bears have a good head coach. And we don't even really know what the Vikings are, because last year seemed to be out of nowhere. How'd they get this good? Then, oh, wait, they lost to the Giants in the NFC playoffs. What does that really mean? and then letting Dalvin Cook walk, etc. I think a lot of us think that the Vikings will come back down to earth this year, which leaves, to me, not much of a gap between whoever's going to win the division and Lions to Packers talent-wise. I don't think. There's a lot of talent of the Packers, and they're not far removed from being the one seed of the NFC. They're 17 games removed from that. So I think it's a – look, do I think it's smart if you're the Packers to be talking about a national TV, we're the best team in the division? I don't think you need to go there. We're the best team in the NFC? No, you're not. But do I think there's a huge gap between the Packers and the rest of the division or the Lions and everybody else? I do not. And so, yeah, I think the Packers are plus 480 are a fine play. Out of all of the teams of that division, you could make a convincing argument any of them could win the NFC North, that all of them are around a 9-8 team, and that the best any of them will be is 10-7, and the worst any of them will be is 7-10, and that an injury here, a break there, you face a team on a short week for them, you're well-rested, they've got a banged-up quarterback, you've got a healthy quarterback or something like that, and suddenly you win that game, and now suddenly 8-9 becomes 9-8, and then boom, you win one more game, and you're a 10-win team, you win the division. I don't think that that's that far off in the NFC North. Mraz, plus 480 for the Packers.
I think it's a great bet. I think it's a great value bet. I think we've officially hit the football offseason's gone too long portion where I totally buy into, like, the Lions should be the favorites, but I think we also now calm down on the Lions a little bit. Doesn't it feel like that? Like, everybody just assumes they will win the division. They're this great team. They're opening. They've gone somehow in the matter of 3 months from extremely lovable, trendy pick to, okay, everybody relax on the Lions a little bit. And as far as the rest of the division, I agree with you. Vikings clearly look like they're trying to tank this thing out and sell out a little bit. The Bears might be another year away, but they are still an intriguing value play if Justin Fields rises to that level. The Packers were right there for a winner-take-all game in Week 17. I mean, that they lost to the Lions Week 18. And Aaron Rodgers might have been the worst player on the field that night. Do we know for sure that Jordan Love is going to suck without Aaron Rodgers in that locker room now and the full chance to play this? I mean, he was a first-round pick, and although it wasn't the right fit for the Packers, it wasn't like he was a projected fourth-rounder before the Packers took him. People thought he had huge upside, and the thought being he'd be ready in a couple years to be a real starter. So I'm not saying he will or won't be good, but at plus 480, there's a chance Jordan Love's actually pretty good this year, and Dobbs and Watson take that next step as second-year receivers.
You'll hear me say this quite a bit over the course of this offseason. I don't think the Packers are taking a huge step backward at quarterback this upcoming year. Certainly, Love is an unknown, and Rodgers is a proven commodity. Not going to argue with that. Rodgers will be in the Hall of Fame one day. We have no idea about Jordan Love. But Rodgers last year, when they lost games, was a huge part of the problem. It wasn't like he was going out there slinging for 380 and the defense was giving up 37 points. When they were bad, he was bad. Now, you can blame that on young wide receivers, fine. But I think that Rodgers also was mentally checked out of that job in that place. And if Jordan Love is checked in, and those wide receivers have another year of experience, and maybe Matt LaFleur and the powers that be there, it's easier to work with and design an offense for Jordan Love because he's all in and you know where he's supposed to be instead of freelancing or demanding this guy plays or this guy get more touches or what have you. It might make everybody's life a little bit easier. My point is that last year the Packers were 8-9. If this team is 8-9 again with Jordan Love, I don't think that that's that crazy of a stretch, and that quarterback from last year to this year might not actually be that big of a difference. Derek Carr, he leaves the Raiders last year, and there is some thought that they did Derek Carr dirty, that Derek Carr should not have been benched or at odds with the front office and coaching staff last year. And then the last two games, he should have had the respect to get those final two games of starts and he could have said goodbye to the fans and goodbye to his Raider days. Bogues, do you think that they did Carr dirty last year?
No, because he's Derek Carr. Like, he wanted to play two more games so he could wave goodbye in those two games?
Pretty much.
Yeah, no. Sorry. That's not how this works.
Carr was benched for the last two games last year because the team didn't want him to get injured, because then a failed physical would have been guaranteed money this year for him. So they wanted to protect that. They knew they were moving on. Whereas, did Derek Carr deserve more than he got from the Raiders?
No, he didn't. I hate to steal Bogus' line. He's Derek Carr. The Raiders are a historic organization. Derek Carr, I think, was a good quarterback, maybe an underappreciated quarterback by the organization. But also, football doesn't really lend itself to, like, the goodbye, pull a player out. It's very awkward on a football field. That's not, you can't really perfect that, because if you're winning the game, then what, you're going to kneel? They're just cheering the team. It's not like baseball where a guy comes out of a game or you pinch it and you give him the round of applause. Football goodbyes are weird.
Carr said, "I was, for lack of a better term, very upset. I was mad. You spend 9 years in a place. You have all the records. You can play at a high level, and for something to get in the way, whether it was for whatever reason, money related or whatever, injury related, I would have said, I don't even want the money. Just to play two more times in front of our fans, I didn't get that opportunity, so it definitely lit a fire inside me going forward." Derek Carr cares more than his talent reflects. He wants to be loved. He cared about being the Raiders quarterback, and that's great. But echoing what both of you said, it's not like Derek Carr was great enough to get the credit he wishes he would get. He wasn't Daryl LaMonica. He wasn't Ken Stabler. He wasn't even Rich Gannon. He's just another okay Raiders. He was better than a lot of Raiders quarterbacks because they had a lot of trash there, but not great enough to deserve the farewell tour. It probably is uncomfortable. Business oftentimes is. We've seen that up close and personal here. Sometimes business is messy.
We have.
But yeah, it's not like Derek Carr was so deserving of a farewell tour. It wasn't like he was Kareem.
I mean, it's just such an odd request and an odd, like, insult that he's taking it here. But even if he was any of those other Raiders that you mentioned, if he was on his way out and they were protecting themselves from getting locked into money that they didn't want to pay, that still would have been okay. Like, that's part of the deal. Like, he signed that contract. His agent negotiated it that way. He can say, well, I wouldn't have taken the money. He had to take the money. You can't just, you know, wave off contractual rights and whatnot. This is just what happens. I don't understand why he's so insulted by this.
And also, I hate to be this guy, but it plays into the theme of the A's. The Raiders have not been in Vegas that long, okay? And I know that the Raiders are more of it, and they have a good fan base in Vegas now and all of this. Do you think anybody in those final two home games showed up to Allegiant Stadium and is sitting there in the 2 months that have followed whatever happened in those games, saying to themselves, I really hate that the Raiders didn't allow us to say goodbye to Derek Carr? Or is this more Derek Carr saying, I hate that I couldn't? Because that's what it comes down to. If the fans really don't care that they didn't get to say goodbye to those last two games, which I have a hard time believing they do, not that they didn't like him, then it feels really egotistical for Derek Carr to feel that way.
Derek Carr was the best thing about a bad Raiders team for a long time. But you still don't really get to call your shots. And he wished that he could call his shots, which you understand. But again, Derek Carr has said some weird things and done some weird things that was supposed to reflect this type of passion and loyalty that, I don't know, it's like when he was crying on the field. I'm not crying. Wasn't that was crying? Or I care so much. Nobody cares more than me. Derek Carr's passion sometimes gets twisted, and it feels like that's what this is.
Said, people who cry at the workplace, just weird.
He said, quote,
very odd.
I've survived about 20 coaches, but that's how it goes, and it is what it is. So I think he viewed himself as the one constant amongst the dysfunction, and that he should be rewarded for that. And in some ways, yes, he should be credited with being a constant in the middle of Vegas turmoil or Raiders turmoil.
He was rewarded with that, with a big, fat contract. A contract that a lot of people can say he didn't deserve.
Yeah, and when you're about to move on, if Derek Carr was a future Hall of Famer? Like, does Tom Brady deserve two farewell games? Yeah. Yes, that feels right. Does Derek Carr deserve? Now, remember, last year people thought that they were doing him dirty. In the middle of the season, people were like, how could you do that? Derek Carr's been a good soldier. I don't know. Again, he's like the fifth best quarterback in Raiders franchise history. Does the fifth best in your franchise history deserve farewell tour?
No. The Raiders were going in one direction.
What's that a joke for?
Derek. They're going a different direction. One direction.
Oh, God.
It's not funny.
Just to get that? I actually think that wasn't too boring.
You try to rhyme Derek with direction?
Yeah, one direction.
Well, let's see, that the problem is you didn't say it that way the first time. You said one direction like the band.
Yeah. So it was a playoff of the band and the direction they were going.
But you didn't sell the Derek part of direction.
No,
well.
I didn't.
Yeah.
It was so bad, we didn't know if you were telling a joke.
Yeah, it was just because of your setup and poke.
Exactly.
And pause.
The pause. The pause.
So you asked me, DA, how things have been the last couple of days. That's how they've been.
So a lot of those.
Time. I mean, rapid fire. Nonstop.
Got to get them in.
I think the Tuba man is trying out for the position as well.
Now, let's be respectful. You're saying that Morty is moving on?
I think he's tried out for the Rass's position. He's really,
oh, I see. He's really Morty working. Wants the producer position.
He's really working that tuba.
That would be an upset. Morty sitting in the chair.
So, they're not going to have a tuba for you over there.
No.
Will you try bad jokes over there?
I think I got to try everything I've tried here and see what sticks.
Just unload the toolbox.
Here's what I got. Let's come back and revisit in a month what you liked and what you didn't like.
But please call me Sean.
Sean Morash.
I'm going to have to grunt really hard and go in my pants. I'm going to have to do the one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure I pick up a chocolate chip off the ground, pop that in my mouth. I'll do the what language do they speak in Brazil
thing. Here's all the plays that worked for me the last 10
no
years
doubt.
Across the hall.
We've
no
joked
doubt.
That we should have some kind of like textbook, some kind of history of this show. They need that now. They need the Sean playbook.
I mean, Andy Reid found a way to use Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, it happens.
The playbook is about the size of an encyclopedia.
Quick addendum for Sniffalipagus today.
It will be interesting. Do the bosses think that you just pick up Mraz, add water, and
change his name.
And that's it? Like, then you get all the poop stuff? Is that what?
Why does it feel like you think I'm only hired for the poop stuff specifically?
Because I know the boss that made this decision loved that moment from you. He loves that stuff from you. He loves all the crazy viral stuff.
Yeah.
He wanted you doing the devil sweeping thing, the gentleman's mop. That was like his favorite bit ever.
I didn't hire you for your sports minutes.
Yeah. The Post also, I think, either wrote an accredit to me or a bad thing about me that I reveal everything and anything about my life. So we'll see if that works over there.
Mm-hmm. The Post is non-committal on Sean's role with the show.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Which my mom was not happy with The Post.
What did she think?
What does this mean if it works? Why won't it work? I'm like, calm down, Mom. Calm down. So she's already written a letter to the editor.
So The Post is posing a question of whether the Mraz stuff will work on a different channel.
Correct.
If I may, Morash will contribute to the show, though he won't be on the marquee. We don't know for sure if it will work for Morash. He adds some personality, but he has a willingness to reveal anything about himself. I don't know what that means.
Some personality.
It's some personality.
But I guess to your point, is it the poop stuff? Is that the personality?
Well, I mean, right? That's kind of where your personality is. It's the quote. It's a terrible, terrible way to define it, but it is. And I plan to do a longer soliloquy about Mraz when we get in the final weeks of this because I have just so many thoughts on this.
Oh, no.
But you have this incredibly unique intersection of real person with cartoon character. And the poop stuff is the cartoon character part. And people, when we go to Boise or I'm out or whatever, they go, is Mraz real? When I went down to Baltimore, that was the big question. Is Mraz real? Is he for real? And I always say this. Mraz is real, but he leans into it on the air. All that stuff is really who he is. But, like, does that happen every minute of every day of every conversation? No. It's heightened for on-air showmanship. So that... So if Mraz is this kind of combination of zany cartoon character with very good sports mind, no doubt about it, and they want the personality, so what's the hallway to get to the personality?
The you poop can, stuff.
You can do you can do sports stuff all day long, no doubt about it. But the, quote, personality is... a totally different hallway from the sports stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to find a way to walk that and to walk down. And so that's what I'm interested in. And it doesn't happen overnight either. It didn't happen overnight on this show.
No, it didn't.
It took a few months for us to feel each other out. And I was like, oh, this works. This doesn't. This is weird, but we can use this here. So when the post says that, it's like some personality. Well, if you want Mraz's personality, like the best thing he does is... says and does things nobody else would ever admit to. We've all said this. When he soiled his pants, if any of us did it, which we wouldn't because we are adult men.
Correct.
We would certainly not admit it, nor run to the bathroom in some type of zany Bugs Bunny hair on fire situation.
Correct.
And then come back, bend over to look, be like, look at what happened. Look at what happened.
Again.
So, you know, that is a thing that you need to massage or understand. It's like giving gremlins water and food after midnight. You know, it becomes a whole thing.
Yeah.
And like the sum, well, you don't just plop Mraz in there, get his take on the Giants running back situation, and then be like, oh, well, let's get some of the poop stuff, you know? Yeah. Like, that's its own huge mushroom cloud.
Let's clarify the red, white, and blue team.
Yeah.
Ah, sorry.
Right.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
A quarterback that rhymes with bones. Give your take on that and then do a fart sound. That's what they're looking for, right? He threw for 300 yards.
But the fart sound.
It's Ebony Tiki.
With Mraz, we can't call Mraz. That's the personality. The personality is named Mraz, and they've already killed the name.
Corporate Mraz.
They made him wear a suit, too.
Well, that was a joke, apparently.
Oh, really?
They know their target audience. Yeah.
And now I got pictures coming up Thursday. I don't know what to wear. I already used my only suit.
And there's a picture day coming up?
Yeah, they're taking pictures for the website. I don't know. Do I just come in the Tanaka shirt? I don't know what to do here.
Why wasn't last week the pictures for the website?
I don't know. I don't know. They got me burning a path back and forth here. You know, like I live 10 blocks from the office.
I have someone standing in with you.
Yeah.
So what was the gag about the suit last week?
Just to see if they could get him to wear a suit.
Oh.
Yeah, because they've never seen me dress nice. And I showed up and they had Tiki purposely underdress with a hoodie.
And my favorite part remains that you have a suit.
A suit.
A suit.
And my dad wasn't around, so I couldn't tie my tie, so I came in without a tie.
Pulling up.
Oh, man, that is good. Well, that's a little bit of personality right there. That's some. You can bring that anecdote to the air, and then that's not necessarily the poop stuff.
Yeah. But you really? I mean, I feel like I'm leaving here with a legacy of being the poop guy.
Yeah.
Which, again,
what?
The poop fits.
Mraz always says, why am I the poop guy? Well, because 65% of the crazy things you do have involved that.
Well, I mean, we might play back some clips over the next 3 weeks. How many of them are going to be poop related? I don't know.
Too many.
We're going to have a whole montage that's going to use.
Yeah.
I'm not
sure of the raw number, but it definitely falls under too many of them.
The raw number. What's the raw data set?
45th percentile.
See, my new concern now, you like to say in your defense of Canadian bacon that Boyle and all those guys benefit from just coming in every once in a while. That if they did it day to day, they'd get exposed.
Yeah.
The fan loves gentleman's mop, but there's a lot to mop up in between that they might not love because we know they're not paying attention all the time. So you better have a lot of mop material.
Yeah, a lot of gentleman mop stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Whatever happens, happens. And you know what? My contract's up in 2 years. I'll come back. Tail between the legs. Move over, Jack.
What a storyline that would be if in 2 years we have to absorb Mraz back.
Well, he thought Freddie Freeman had sulked his way back to the Braves yesterday, so that would be, you'd be the next Freddie Freeman. Braves, Dodgers,
to
Braves.
Find out Freeman was still on the Dodgers yesterday.
You thought he went Braves, Dodgers, Braves?
Yeah. I thought we did a story, just like you guys did with Lady Bing. I thought we did a story where he got his way back to the Braves and he was upset.
No, that's when he was upset about his agent who didn't give him... He said, or
no, Doug Gottlieb said.
Right. Well, it was misinterpreted, but that was the story about him going back to LA, or going back to Atlanta, rather, as a Dodger, and everybody thinking he really wanted to be a Brave.
Yeah. And yesterday when Freeman, we played the 2008, I said, wait a minute, he's still in the Dodgers? I thought he went back to the Braves.
No, he never went back. No, but then again, you couldn't remember who won the World Series last year.
Yeah. Gonna have to get on that.
Or which Turner is which.
And they went over there because
the poop stuff.
When we come back, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I was under the impression that when we make the wings, the reason we have so many is we cut one wing off and it does grow back.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
30 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to us on the free Odyssey app or on the free CBS Sports app. Either one is good. Tickets with you on the go. The Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Proudly serving the Armed Forces DOD. Veterans and their families, they're members of the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Eli De La Cruz, I love this guy. During his history-making cycle on Friday night. Yes, he's hit a cycle. He's been up in the bigs for like 2 weeks. This phenom made an unbelievable catch in left field as well. The Reds' first cycle since 1989. He has helped lead them to a 12-game win streak. Now, they've lost three in a row since. But they were on a 12-game win streak, and they sold out Great America, which they never do. So, Eli De La Cruz has just been everything and more. Do we know who the last Red cycle was? Was it Eric Davis? 89?
It was.
It was Eric Davis. Davis in his prime, you remember Bogues, was just freaking phenomenal. He was a five-tool everything. Injuries really kind of broke him down for the last part of his career, but probably between 85 and 90 or so, Eric Davis was one of the five best all-around players in Major League Baseball that nobody ever talks about. He was outrageously talented.
Yes, and had weird injuries. Didn't he like lacerate his like liver or kidney making a catch somehow or something like that?
Sounds right.
But he was on those Reds teams were fun. Late Chris Sabo with the goggles at third base, late 80s, early 90s Reds. And don't forget, John Sadak, TV voice of the Reds, on the show tomorrow morning, 9:20 a.m. Eastern.
To talk a little Eli De La Cruz.
Of course.
That's another guest that Bogus booked.
Mm. Yeah.
Another.
That's all I got this week.
The first one he's booked. Everybody relax. Thank you. I'm appreciative that Bogus helped out here.
Me too.
Me too.
Make me useful this week.
We would have a guest.
Moist Pork is trashing the mulberry tree in his backyard. This summer, it has dropped way more berries than I ever remember. Now, my backyard is one giant mush of grass, dirt, and smelly mulberries. We have purple shoe prints all over my deck and house. get it out.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Feels like a very moist pork trash.
I just said that to Pete. I go, this feels so moist porkish. It's just so funny.
The mulberry tree.
I didn't even know mulberries were real berries.
They're delicious.
Yeah, you have a mulberry?
I don't. My parents did when we were growing up. We had a mulberry tree probably until I was like 12. I don't know what happened to it. Well, mulberries are delicious. You can't buy them anywhere. I don't know where they come from besides if you have a tree in your backyard.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So are those the berries you think might be poisonous that some might not eat? Is that why you're not familiar?
Maybe some people.
Because at Thanksgiving, nobody brings the mulberry pie.
No, but boy, delicious. Now, I don't know about moist porks, mulberries.
Hopefully they're moist and not pork.
Tyler says, I'm trashing parents who allow their kids who are blatantly too old for things like children, museums, pools, playgrounds to run amok in the toddler areas. If your idiot kid knocks over my 2-year-old or cuts in front of my 4-year-old, they're going to get hip checked. # get him out.
What a beatdown.
Amen.
Yeah.
You've seen this. Oversized kids where they shouldn't be.
You know me. I'm not one for confrontation, but the neighborhood pool that we have has like a little kiddie pool, and like it's, I don't know, 18 inches of water, so you can like drop your toddler in there, they can sit on their butt and they can just do whatever. And but because it's so shallow, it's actually fun to like run through because it's almost like you're walking on water and you're like kicking and splashing. So you do, and it's fenced off, so it's really separate from the real pool. And when we first moved there, we took my daughter when she was, I don't know, 2 or 3, and she'd be sitting there minding her own business. And these kids would like run through to have fun, and they were 10, 11, 12. They could have thumped her. It's like, what? How? Who raised you? Mm. It's one thing, it's empty, you go have fun, but you're running around, being a jerk, running around tiny little kids.
Bad job.
Same thing happened to Timmy at the park. Same situation. He was
getting roughed up, kids.
He was trying to play like he always does, and you have like 10, 11, 12 year olds, you know, swinging really hard on the swings,
right.
and you know, like, possibly hurting.
Because you feel like a giant on the little kid stuff, but then you got to do it when there's nobody there.
Right.
Not when the actual kids are there. And my park has like signs. Like, this is specifically for kids under 6. Oy. You shouldn't be on this if you're over 6.
But if there's no signs, then it's free game.
But you still should know better. Like, it's one thing to, like, you should know that you're putting other people at risk by your behavior.
The world is people's oyster. If there's a playground...
No, there are rules, Pat.
But if there's a playground, and I'm a 10-year-old, and I see a 4-year-old, I'm not going to not play on the playground because there's a 4-year-old on it.
You can be careful around the 4-year-olds.
Exactly. You don't have to climb the slide upward, yeah.
Right.
That doesn't seem to be the problem. The problem with that gentleman's tweet seems to be that he just doesn't like that there's older kids on the playground.
He said running amok.
They're rough out. They're not playing by the rules on the playground.
What are the rules of the playground? It's a playground. There are no rules.
The
rules
are like, play somewhere else when there's a 4-year-old on a slide.
Right. The rule coexisting is like, don't leapfrog my kid while you're playing manhunt in the playground with your friends.
Exactly. Go smoke weed behind 7-Eleven like all the other kids
that age. Exactly.
At 10 years old. You were smoking weed at 10?
You'd think he was by his diet.
Robin Topeka is trashing people who back into the parking stalls at Sonic. Not only can we hear your music, but now everyone gets to look at you. Get them out.
I smell rotten eggs.
Is this happening?
That's another lawless place, Sonic. What?
Sonic.
So how is that? I guess the passenger would have to do the ordering because the way the big screen is by the driver's side.
Right.
That's odd. They're not made. They're usually angled. They're not made for that.
No. Who's doing that? True savages are backing into spots at Sonic. All right, standing by with headlines. Here's Pat Boyle.
All right, DA, we start in Omaha where the purple and gold are the kings of college baseball.
No balls, 2 strikes. The wind and the pitch. Swing and a miss. It's over. And it's lucky number 7 for LSU. Their 7th national championship.
Kevin Kugler, Westwood One Sports, the LSU...
Go Tigers!
Our national champions. They annihilated Florida in Game 3 of the Men's College World Series 18-4. Their 24 hits, College World Series record. Their 14-run win, largest margin of victory in a title game. They also have the projected number 1 and number 2 overall picks in the upcoming MLB draft. Outfielder Dylan Cruz and pitcher Paul Skeens. Wow. Pretty damn good year for LSU. NHL awards last night, Connor McDavid.
SEC, by the way, has won 4 consecutive national championships, and I think it was 6 out of 7. They're pretty good at football and baseball.
Yeah. Disappointing, though. This is a, they set multiple records for close, like, one-run games up until this weekend and had 24-4 and 18-4 to close things out.
Wild.
Yeah.
And that's the one part about college baseball that's hard for me to get around is that there's, like, routinely games played in the high teens and sometimes 20s. Feels very unbaseball-esque.
It does. They've also they've implemented a lot of pitch clock rules this year. They sped the game up, so
they've deadened the bats a little bit too, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, the BB core bats, those have been in play since I was in high school.
Okay.
Because you just I mean, the old bats were lethal.
Right.
I used to feel like a man amongst boys when I was 12 years old. The bats we used to use, I barely would even hit the ball and poof, fly.
Right.
Now it just sounds like a. I hate the noise they make.
The ping.
Ping.
Jeez.
Anyway, NHL awards last night. Connor McDavid has a farm for all his MVPs.
Oh,
pretty good.
The Oilers superstar won his third Hart
Trophy. King is here.
Oilers superstar won his third Hart Trophy last night, getting all but one possible first place vote. We mentioned the moron that voted him fifth. David Pastrnak finished second. Erik Karlsson of the Sharks, he won the Norris Trophy as the best defender. We had some fun with the Lady Bing Trophy, but here's a real award. Penguins defenseman Chris Letang won the Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy as the player who, quote, best exemplifies the qualities of perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to hockey.
Nice.
End quote. That's a real award. But and in case you forgot, Letang suffered a stroke for the second time in his life during the season.
Wow.
And then also mourned the death of his dad within a span of 4 weeks.
Mm.
So it's a nice, I guess, a good ending, you know, to the year for Chris Letang. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what was a tough year.
Mm-hmm.
Over to the major leagues, the O's, they were chirping last night.
Ground ball up the middle, and it will get on through into center field. Mateo scores. Hayes behind him. It's a two RBI base hit for Rutschman, and it's a 10-3 Baltimore lead.
Would have been nice to hear the crack of the bat in that highlight. Orioles radio, there was a lengthy rain delay at Camden Yards, and the O's brought the rain on the Reds. 10-3 the final. Speaking of your guy, Ellie De La Cruz, he went hitless. But five Baltimore hitters had multi-hit games, including Adley Rutschman, who you heard in that highlight. And I mentioned yesterday, Jordan Westberg, O's number three prospect. He made his debut 1-for-4 with an RBI and a run. Shohei Ohtani hit his MLB best 26th home run. Mike Trout scored on a wild pitch to walk off the White Sox. Angels win 2-1. And it got a little sweaty for Paul Sewald at SeaWorld. He came in with the bases loaded.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to add SeaWorld for some reason.
That's good.
It didn't really make sense, but came in with the bases loaded with two outs in the ninth inning, struck out Jaime Candelario with a backdoor sweeper. Mariners hold on to beat the Nats 8-4. We mentioned the NBA news yesterday. No, not Naz Reid getting a contract extension, but the Hawks trading John Collins to the Utah Jazz for Rudy Gay and a future second-round pick. And, yeah, they didn't want to pay Collins the $26 million per year that he was due over the next 3 years. And with that, let's get stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So here's the first stunning part of the news. There is a World's Ugliest Dog competition.
Yeah.
Dog.
Dog.
The second part of the stunning news is the dog that won it was even uglier than I could have imagined. Scooter, who is a Chinese crested pup, he took home the top prize. This dog is hideous. Yeah. He is horrendous looking.
Yeah.
But he won the trophy, and I guess it was a pretty good story for him because he was almost euthanized when he was born. You know, they basically rescued him from the, well, what's the name of the group? S-A-F-E, Safe?
Oh, I don't know.
I had it right here, and I lost it. But anyway, yes. So he
saving
he was
animals from euthanasia, S-A-F-E, Safe.
Yeah, so he was born basically without the use of his back, his hind legs. They were deformed.
Wow.
So he has walked on his two front legs for most of his life.
Wow.
He also, the tongue hangs out, like out of a straight out of a cartoon.
Yeah.
And he's basically hairless other than scraggly wisps of white hair around his head.
Very good descriptor. Because I was going to say, like, how do we describe how ugly he is? There's a different pooch that wins this every year, although one of those had the title for many, many years. Do we think this is nice? I mean, they're holding the dog up.
It's not.
Like, it's a it's a wonderful moment for the dog, but you're calling the dog the ugliest dog in the world.
Yes.
We would never have that for a human, would we?
You can't have that take, D.A. You can't have that take. You can't have the take that a horse doesn't know it wins the Kentucky Derby and then feel bad for the dog being awarded the world's ugliest dog. He doesn't know what he's winning.
Thank you.
He's being awarded an award. To him, it's making him happy. He doesn't know what the world's calling him the world's ugliest dog. He's living a hard enough life that people are giving him side eyes. At least he feels like he's being rewarded a little bit, and he doesn't know what for.
Oh, that I guess that's fair, but maybe there's a better way to frame it for humans so that we don't have to call animals ugly.
How about this? If you nominate your dog to be in this, you have the dog taken away.
You have the dog taken away?
Yeah. Why should you be a dog owner of an ugly dog if you're trying to promote how ugly they are? Well, so you're looking to hurt their feelings.
So here's the thing. The contest has taken place for over 50 years, and the article that I found on USA Today, saying that the contest is not about mockery, but it's about celebrating the imperfections that make all dogs special and unique.
All right.
While also advocating for adoption, so...
Well, that's good, but we're also calling them ugliest dog in the world.
I would feel a little weird standing around like, yeah, look how ugly this son of a, is.
Give the thing a better name.
Scooter?
No, because it scoots around. It doesn't use its back legs.
Scooter.
They finally contest. Got it.
Give the contest a
better
name.
You know what the real problem is? Maybe the dog should be taken away because the owner, who, if this is the woman in the picture, she could also win this competition. They just got it. The dog is...
No.
All right. It should be a joint contest.
Yes.
Ugliest person and ugliest dog.
The dog is 7 years old. They only just recently got him, the little wheel cart for him to walk with.
That's ridiculous.
6 years you've been letting the dog just... strangle and struggle to walk like that?
Take it away.
CBS Sports Radio, August 1st.
Take it away.
What does that mean?
Life without me.
Here we go. I was waiting for the day this would happen.
That Mraz would sit back and say, you'll miss me when I'm gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why are you saying that? Because I'm describing this... article.
I'm enjoying this the same way Dixieland Dan will. That's all. I'm a fan.
What does that mean?
He's above us.
I'm thumbing my nose at the personality of the show.
He just said that you're not as good as him.
Right. Yes.
He's being a loser.
That without you don't have his poop stuff, so your best material is calling us Lady Ugly.
All right.
Well, that's not going to help you in the interview process.
Nope. Anyway, I don't love this contest because this dog has no use of its back legs, and now we're giving him an award because he's ugly.
Let's make fun of it.
I mean, yeah. Why can't we call him the most unique looking dog or something along the most charismatic dog?
In a world where everyone gets offended, we're still doing
yes, because Pete, guess what? He's a dog. He's not capable of being offended.
I agree.
You guys are missing the starting point here. He has
ridiculous.
No feelings in this
the
regard.
The dog is sick.
He doesn't understand what's going on around him.
That's true, but should we have world's ugliest baby competition?
No, it's different because dogs are the one species on planet Earth that are so damn ugly they're cute.
Yeah, everybody with their nose up in the
ugly
air.
Ugly works for dogs.
Everybody with their nose up in
would
the air.
Would you have liked if Peyton was called
Leon Lett.
Most likely to look. I know. Would you have liked it if somebody gave her the award most likely to look like Danny DeVito? Would you have liked that?
No, but it's a human being.
Well, she didn't know. She could be offended.
Babies cannot be so ugly they're cute. Dogs can be. You ever see a pug with its eyes bulging out of its mouth? And you're like, ooh. You do that same thing at the same time.
Ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. Find another contest. It's totally buffoonery.
Oh, keep going. This dog's sick.
It's sickening. It's totally sickening. The dog's sick, and we're making fun of the dog because it's ugly.
But they're not actually making fun of the dog. They're celebrating the dog.
Shut up. No. They're not celebrating the dog.
You got a trophy.
The dog's ugly.
They're holding up that Lion King to show them off. They absolutely are celebrating Scooter.
Oh, come on. Give me a break. Give me a break.
Here's you being offended by a dog.
One judge said, in the cutest way possible, Scooter reminds me of a hairy hippopotamus.
Yeah, that's celebrating a dog. Give me a break. That's awful. They should change the contest, and they should take away those dogs from those owners for being stupid.
And don't call them tutties.
When we come back, Larry Legend gets slammed. DA, CBS Sports Radio. All right, welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate you dropping on by. And a reminder, you can watch the show at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. Or on YouTube. All episodes are archived there and on Twitch. I mean, I don't know how much you can take seriously from Dennis Rodman these days. I mean, he's starting to look like Antonio Brown's grandma. But he told Vlad TV, quote, if Larry Bird played in this era, I think he'd be in Europe. There's no way he could beat LeBron one-on-one. LeBron versus Larry Bird is an interesting concept because I think LeBron versus anybody throughout history is an interesting concept because LeBron's just built in a different way of a different mold and generation of athleticism that just never existed before. We've never seen that somebody that large, that powerful. Magic is a close comp, but Magic didn't have ferocious, powerful dunking abilities like LeBron does. So LeBron just built like a dump truck, but also plays like a guard. And so that's kind of like not a fair fight for anybody. But I think the bigger question is, Dennis Rodman played against prime Larry Bird. Would Larry Bird be in Europe today? I want to discuss this, and we'll do some baseball with Brian Kenny coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.